This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to The Deep Dive. You know, the pace of AI innovation, it feels like it's accelerating every single day. New breakthroughs, new challenges, new ethical questions constantly cropping up. So today, we're going to try and cut through some of that noise. We're zooming right into just one day, August 27, 2025, to give you a clear snapshot of the AI landscape as it stands right now. Our mission here really is to help you quickly get a handle on what's genuinely important, what's impactful, those sort of aha moments. You know, without drowning you in information, we've gathered insights from all over. Daily AI chronicles, company reports, even legal filings, news articles. We'll be touching on stuff from Anthropic, Google, OpenAI, Dot+, reports on defense tech, and even national AI education efforts. It's a pretty wide net, but it paints this really fascinating picture of AI's immediate impact. Okay, so let's unpack this. We're talking everything from new tools that help you learn languages to these really high-stakes legal fights over how AI is actually trained. It's not just tech talk. It's about how AI is reshaping, well, everything, our daily lives, the economy, even national security.
Yeah, and what's really compelling, I think, is how quickly all these different threads are not just appearing, but actually like bumping into each other, colliding. And that collision creates these huge opportunities, obviously, but also some really complex, sometimes unexpected challenges that, frankly, we all need to understand. So we'll dig into the what, but maybe more importantly, the why it matters for you.
Right. And when we talk about AI sort of getting directly into your hands, the first thing that jumps out from that day is Anthropic's Claude for Chrome.
Yeah.
This isn't just another chatbot, is it? How's it different?
No, it really isn't. So Anthropic launched this Claude for Chrome. It's a browser extension, still in a limited research preview, mind you. But the key difference is that it gives Claude agentic capabilities.
Meaning
it can actually do things for you on the web. Navigate websites, click buttons, fill out forms. Basically, automate tasks. Think about it like AI doing your online chores, filtering rental properties, maybe comparing prices online, even helping manage your email. It's a big step towards AI being a digital assistant, not just something you chat with.
Okay, that sounds incredibly useful. Almost like, I don't know, a digital intern working for you.
Huh, yeah, something like that.
But if AI is becoming more agentic, actually taking actions online for us, how do we square that convenience with privacy, with security? Because I can immediately see potential problems there.
You're hitting the nail on the head. That's the critical issue. This kind of agentic browsing, it turns out, is quite vulnerable to something called prompt injection attacks.
Okay.
So imagine a scammer sends you a cleverly hidden malicious email. It could potentially trick Claude into, say, forwarding your private financial emails straight to the attacker without you even knowing.
Wow. That's concerning.
It is. Now, Anthropic knows this. They've added safeguards, things like site-level permissions. You have to confirm actions. And that did help. They reduced the attack success rate from nearly 24% down to about 11%.
Better, but still.
Exactly. It's better, but it shows this is an ongoing battle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Securing AI as it becomes more capable and integrated into how we interact with the digital world. It's a constant push and pull between power and safety.
It really is. A moving target.
Is it?
Okay, let's shift gears slightly. Another everyday tool, Google Translate. That's also making some big leaps, apparently. Going way beyond just, you know, swapping words.
Indeed. Google Translate is rolling out a new language practice feature. It basically acts like a personalized language tutor. It gives you customized listening and speaking exercises, and it adapts based on how you're doing. Really focuses on conversational skills and vocabulary building.
Mm.
But the really, I think, game-changing part is a new live translate option. This is for real-time conversations.
Live translate. So I could talk to someone right here speaking a different language.
Exactly. You could have a fluid conversation. It gives you both audio translations back and forth and an on-screen transcript in over 70 languages for two people talking together.
Wow. Okay, the implications there are huge. Think about international travel or global business meetings, just smoothing out those awkward pauses, making communication genuinely fluid.
Right. No more struggling with phrase books. And the tech behind it is pretty sophisticated to make that happen naturally.
I bet. It needs to sound human, not robotic.
Precisely. The AI models are trained to pick up on subtle things like pauses and intonation, so the translated speech sounds much more natural. And crucially, they've worked on the speech recognition side too. It can isolate voices, even in noisy places, like an airport terminal or a busy street, making it actually useful in the real world.
Yeah, that real-world application is key. Okay, so from enhancing daily tasks and communication, we also need to think about how these tools interact with more sensitive areas, like our mental well-being. And this next piece from OpenAI really highlights the ethical tightrope these companies are walking as their AI gets woven deeper into our lives.
Absolutely. It's a significant move. Following a really serious lawsuit involving a teen suicide, OpenAI is updating ChatGPT. The goal is to make it better at recognizing signs of psychological distress, especially during long conversations.
How would that work?
Well, for example, it might issue explicit warnings. Say a user talks about feeling invincible and not needing sleep. The AI might flag the dangers of sleep deprivation. And more directly, if a user indicates they're in a crisis, the system is being updated to provide direct links to emergency services in the US and Europe initially. Just a click away to get professional help outside the platform.
That seems like a necessary step. And they're adding parental controls too.
Yes, that's planned. A feature allowing guardians to monitor their children's ChatGPT conversations, review the history. The idea is to help spot potential issues early on.
It really signals this shift, doesn't it? It's not just about features anymore. It's about the ethical responsibility developers have.
Exactly. These tools are becoming so integrated, their potential impact on mental health, on user safety. It has to be a core consideration in the design process now.
Yeah, it's a recognition that they're not just building tech. They're shaping experiences, and sometimes very sensitive ones.
Precisely. It's less about just adding bells and whistles and more about understanding the profound societal role these AI systems are starting to play. Building in safety nets is becoming crucial.
Okay, but beneath all these user-facing advancements and ethical debates, there are these powerful, almost invisible currents shaping AI's foundations. Which brings us to this huge legal battle Anthropic just navigated. They essentially just bought their way out of what could have been, well, the first potential trillion-dollar copyright judgment in AI.
It was a massive deal. Yeah, Anthropic reached a preliminary settlement. There were authors accusing them of basically downloading millions of copyrighted books illegally from pirate sites like Library Genesis to train Claude. This settlement avoids a trial that was set for December, and frankly, it posed an existential threat to the company.
But wait, I thought the consensus was leaning towards training AI on copyrighted data being fair use.
Ah, that's the crucial distinction here. A judge had ruled generally that training AI on copyrighted books could qualify as fair use. But the issue for Anthropic wasn't the training itself, it was the acquisition method.
How they got the book.
Exactly. Taking millions of books for free from known pirate sites. That crossed a clear legal line. It wasn't about the act of learning, it was about the source of the material.
And the potential damages were really that high. A trillion.
Unbelievably high. The class action covered something like 7 million potentially pirated works. Statutory damages can range from $750 up to $150,000 per work.
Wow.
Yeah, you do the math. The potential liability was absolutely staggering, easily into the trillions. It was genuinely a death knell situation, which is why they had to settle.
So this sends a huge message to the rest of the industry.
A massive one. It strongly suggests that the dozens of similar lawsuits pending against OpenAI, Meta, Google, you name it, they're probably going to settle too. They can't risk that kind of judgment. It fundamentally shifts the ground. It underscores that how you source your training data is just as critical as what the model can do. There's this massive legal and financial reckoning happening right now over the foundations of these models.
It really forces that question. Is the future of AI built on a legally shaky past?
That's the multi-trillion dollar question, isn't it? And it's not just about copyright issues defining the dark side of AI. Anthropic itself put out a warning about how hackers are actively weaponizing AI.
Weaponizing AI? How?
Well, their report detailed something they called vibe hacking. Essentially, a single person using Claude Code, their coding assistant AI, acting as both a consultant and an operator to run large-scale data extortion campaigns.
So the AI helps them plan and execute the attack.
Pretty much. It drastically lowers the barrier to entry for sophisticated cybercrime. The report talks about no-code malware.
No-code malware? meaning you don't need to know how to code to create it.
Exactly. People with minimal technical skills can apparently use AI to generate ransomware, even incorporating tricky evasion techniques like something called recycled bait, where they reuse bits of old legitimate code to sneak past security. The AI essentially outsources all the hard technical work. You just need the intent.
That is genuinely chilling. The democratization of, well, of cyber warfare, almost.
It is. And maybe even more worrying, the report found evidence of North Korean operatives using Claude to fraudulently get tech jobs by simulating technical competence, using the AI to develop a believable online persona, to pass coding interviews, even to help them with daily tasks after getting hired to maintain the facade.
Wow. Okay.
So yeah, it highlights how AI can democratize not just helpful tools, but also cybercrime and espionage. It puts powerful capabilities into more hands, creating new threats for everyone, individuals, companies, governments.
It's a stark reminder that every powerful tool cuts both ways. Okay, let's pivot from the darker side to creativity. Another landscape shift. Google released Gemini Flash 2.5 image, nicknamed Nano Banana in testing.
Huh, yeah, that was its internal code name. But this model, Gemini Flash 2.5 image, is actually a pretty big deal for image generation and editing.
What makes it special?
It's capable of really precise multi-step image editing, and crucially, it does a much better job of preserving things like character likeness across those edits. It gives users way more creative control. It actually shot to number one on the LM Arena image edit leaderboard during testing. That's a key benchmark, and apparently by a pretty wide margin, so people were impressed.
Okay. So more control, better consistency, what can it actually do?
Well, it supports multi-turn edits. You can layer changes, tweak things iteratively, and it keeps the image consistent. It can blend different images together, apply artistic styles across scenes or objects, mix styles, all using natural language prompts. And interestingly, it uses multimodal reasoning, so it can make smarter choices. Like if you ask it to add plants to a desert scene, it knows to add cacti, not ferns.
Right, context awareness.
Oh.
So is this like the end of Photoshop?
Huh. Not quite yet. It's not replacing those detailed professional workflows overnight, but it's a big step closer. Imagine the possibilities for creators, though, crafting consistent characters, styles, narratives across a whole series of images. That's huge.
Yeah, it moves beyond just single image touch-ups to enabling more complex visual storytelling.
Exactly. Some people are even suggesting this kind of capability could drive a, quote, Studio Ghibli-style boom for Gemini. Basically, enabling a new wave of really creative, visually consistent AI-generated content and apps. It democratizes that higher level of visual creation.
That's a really exciting prospect.
Yeah.
Okay, what about AI in education? Anthropic also put out a report looking at how teachers are actually using Claude. What do they find?
It's fascinating. They analyzed about 74,000 conversations from educators. And the main finding, professors are primarily using AI to automate administrative tasks.
Like what?
Curriculum design was the biggest use case, about 57% of the conversations. Then came academic research support, around 13%. And evaluating student work was next, at 7%. They also found professors were building custom tools using Claude's artifacts, feature things like interactive chemistry labs, simulations, automated grading rubrics, visual dashboards for class data.
Wait, efficiency makes sense, but grading? Evaluating student work, that seems tricky for AI.
It is. And the report flagged that as the most controversial area. Almost half, 49% of the conversations about assessment showed heavy automation. And this is despite grading generally being rated as one of AI's weakest capabilities right now. It needs nuance, judgment, understanding context, things AI struggles with.
Right. So it highlights that tension again.
Exactly. AI can definitely streamline their repetitive stuff. But for tasks needing deep judgment, like grading fairly, human oversight, critical thinking, those remain absolutely essential. It's that constant balancing act between efficiency and genuine quality in education.
That tension seems to be everywhere, especially when you look at the bigger picture, the race for AI talent itself. We've seen some really dramatic moves lately, haven't we? People jumping ship very quickly.
We really have. Meta, for instance, launched its big superintelligence labs effort, reporting directly to Zuckerberg, aimed at leapfrogging rivals. But then, almost immediately, two prominent researchers they'd just hired, Avi Verma and Ethan Knight, left after less than a month to go back to OpenAI.
Less than a month, wow.
Yeah. And Chaya Nayak, who led their generative AI work, she's also off to OpenAI. Rishabh Agarwal, another key figure, announced he's leaving too. It's a significant setback for Meta's big push and just shows how incredibly fierce the competition for that top-tier AI talent is.
And this isn't just companies fighting over researchers, right? This talent race is spilling over into national security, potentially reshaping global power. What's happening there?
Yeah, that's a really critical dimension. There's intense focus and funding going into defense tech AI. Take Blue Water Autonomy, a startup building fully autonomous naval vessels. They just raised another $50 million, bringing their total to $64 million. And this is happening while general venture funding is sluggish. Defense tech AI funding actually surged, hit $3 billion in 2024.
Autonomous warships.
Hmm.
Why the big push?
Well, the founders of Blue Water are ex-Navy officers. They understand the strategic need. Consider this. China currently has something like 200 times America's shipbuilding capacity.
200 times?
Yeah. So the U.S. can't just outbuild them in the traditional sense. The Pentagon's response includes allocating over $2 billion just for medium-sized unmanned surface vessels, exactly what Blue Water is developing. The Navy aims to start integrating these by 2027.
And these are big vessels. Half a football field you mentioned earlier, but no crew.
Exactly. Half a football field long, completely autonomous. And that fundamentally changes the economics of naval power.
How so?
They're cheaper to build than crewed warships, and crucially, they're replaceable. If one gets destroyed, it's a much smaller loss, financially and in terms of personnel. The strategy shifts. It becomes about outsmarting the adversary with AI-driven autonomous systems, not just trying to match them ship for ship. It's a fundamental rethink of naval strategy powered by AI.
That really drives home the national security stakes, which then connects to the broader strategy of, well, preparing the people, the next generation, for this AI world.
Melania Trump launched this presidential AI challenge recently.
Yes, that's right. It's a nationwide competition for K-12 students. The idea is they use AI tools to come up with solutions for problems in their own communities. There are $10,000 prizes. It actually stems from a White House executive order tasking federal agencies with advancing AI education for young people. There's a specific White House task force on AI education focused on building the future workforce needed to actually deploy these AI systems. And the context is that the U.S. needs to catch up.
Well, yeah. Countries like China are investing massively in AI education from early ages. Meanwhile, many American schools are still struggling with basic computer literacy, let alone AI concepts. So this challenge is part of a push to get students ready for what they call an AI-assisted workforce, which they see arriving within years, not decades.
It's interesting, too, given Melania Trump's own direct experience with AI, using it to replicate her voice for her memoir's audiobook, and also backing the Take It Down Act against deepfakes, she's seen both sides.
It certainly adds a layer of personal connection to the initiative, highlighting both the potential and the perils. But the core message is strategic. The future workforce across almost all sectors needs AI fluency. It's about building those foundational skills early to stay competitive globally. The AI race isn't just about labs and code. It's about cultivating the next generation of innovators and users.
Especially when you see reports like that Stanford one you mentioned briefly, finding a decline already in entry-level jobs in fields exposed to AI.
Exactly. That Stanford report found a 13% drop in those roles. It's just another signal of the workforce transformation that's already underway, making this push for AI education feel even more urgent.
So we've really journeyed through just one day, August 27th, 2025, but we've seen AI touching everything. User experience, the law, creativity, education, national defense.
Yeah, from the sheer convenience of agentic browsing or instant translation.
To the really serious stuff like AI being weaponized by hackers or these foundational copyright battles that could reshape the whole industry. It's just incredibly dynamic.
So reflecting on all this, what stands out most to you, the listener? It's clear AI isn't just one thing, right? It's this rapidly swirling collection of tools, challenges, breakthroughs, and yeah, opportunities, all demanding our attention, our critical thought. The speed is just breathtaking. And with that speed comes this intense feeling of both incredible promise and, let's be honest, significant peril.
Absolutely. And it leaves us with a final thought to chew on. You have this push, like the presidential AI challenge, to get even elementary school kids using AI tools. Wow. While at the same time, top researchers are playing this high-stakes game of musical chairs between tech giants fighting for an edge. So how is that next generation actually going to navigate this? How will they define what it means to be AI-assisted when AI is creating new problems just as fast as it's offering solutions?
Yeah, how much of our own thinking, our own intelligence, are we prepared to outsource? And what does that mean for our future capacity, for innovation, for critical analysis, maybe even for our understanding of ourselves?
A lot to think about. We'll leave you with that for now.